Welcome to Faith Renewed, a ministry of Faith Recovery Fellowship right here in Alaska. Knowing Jesus as Lord is the most important thing in our lives, and we aim to share the true gospel with everyone. Listen with us today as Pastor Scott preaches to his congregation and invites you to know the Lord Jesus Christ. You can also visit us online at faithrecoveryfellowship.org, that's O-R-G, for more information about our local church. God is good, and Jesus saves all who surrender their lives to him. Amen.
We're in John chapter 5. We're going to pick up in verse 30. We talked about verse 30 last week, but I'm going to go back to verse 30 because it begins a testimony that Jesus has about himself. I can do nothing on my own. I judge only as I hear, and my judgment is righteous because I do not seek my own will, but the will of him who sent me. If I testify about myself, my testimony is not valid. There is another who testifies about me, and I know that the testimony he gives about me is valid. You have sent messengers to John, and he testified to the truth. I don't receive man's testimony, but I say that these things that you may be saved. John was a burning and shining lamp, and for a time you were willing to enjoy his light. But I have a greater testimony than John because of the works that the Father has given me to accomplish. These very works I am doing testify about me that the Father has sent me. The Father who sent me has himself testified about me. You have not heard his voice at any time, and you haven't seen his form. You don't have his words living in you, and because you don't believe the one he sent. You pore over the scriptures because you think you have eternal life in them, yet they testify about me, and you are not willing to come to me so that you may have life. I do not accept glory from men, but I know you, and you have no love for God within you. I have come in my Father's name, yet you don't accept me. If anyone else comes in his own name, you will accept him. How can you believe while accepting glory from one another? You don't seek the glory that comes from the only God. Do not think that I will accuse you to the Father. Your accuser is Moses, on whom you have set your hope. And if you believed Moses, you would believe me, because he wrote about me. But if you don't believe his writings, how will you believe my words? Powerful words from Jesus. He challenges the Pharisees. This entire chapter is really about the Pharisees' challenge to Christ and his ability to do what he came to do, what he did do, what he has done. So we clearly see here in this passage of Scripture that Jesus is standing up for his own authority as the Son of God, as the one that God sent. And he doesn't pull any punches at all. He clearly states exactly his purpose. And he's done that through this entire chapter, but when we come to these last verses of the chapter from 30 down through verse 47, Jesus is clear. There are four witnesses to the truth of what Jesus says. He came to declare that he was the Son of God. And these four witnesses are here in this scripture passage to declare that Jesus is truly the Son of God. Truly, these witnesses declare the truth. So as we start out, Jesus' clear confession is what we read in verses 30 through 31. If I test about myself, my testimony is not valid, but another testifies about me. And he clears the way to say that he has the right to judge. He has righteous judgment. He does not seek his own will, but he seeks the will of him who sent me, the Father. These four witnesses are John the Baptist, Jesus' own works and miracles, Jesus' Father, and the Scripture themselves. So we have four witnesses we're looking at here this morning. And the four witnesses that he talks about are, number one, John the Baptist. But in order to understand what John the Baptist was saying, we need to go back to John chapter 1. There was a man named John, verse 6, who was sent from God. He came as the witness to testify about the light, so that all might believe in him. He was not the light, but he came to testify about the light, the true light that gives light to everyone who is coming into the world. He came to his own, and his own people did not receive him. But all who did receive him, he gave them the right to be children of God to those who believed in his name. So we see this in this passage of Scripture that John clearly states who Jesus is. And he got that message from the Holy Spirit because he knew, not just intuitively, but he knew from the Lord that the reason he was sent was to testify about Christ, to testify about the deity of Christ. And as we go through this passage, it's interesting to see it was so essential that John come to testify about the light, to testify about the Lord, to baptize, to preach repentance, to give the message of Christ's coming, and then to baptize Jesus where the dove settled upon Jesus to signify that the Holy Spirit had come into Jesus' life. It was not because the Holy Spirit was not in Jesus' life, but it was a sign to show that it was from God. He was born not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God. He is the one coming after me, whose sandals I am not worthy to untie. John recognized exactly who Jesus was and is, and his testimony was clear. And as we move on, it's great to see this. I love this passage of Scripture because Jesus is so clear in his message. He tells us, I have a greater testimony than John's because of the works, this is verse 36, that God gave me to accomplish. These works I am doing testify about me that the Father sent me. The Father sent me, has himself testified about me. You have not heard his voice at any time, and you haven't seen his form. So we see that the testimony of the works that Jesus accomplished definitely proved that it came from the Father. He filled the jars with water in John chapter 2, verse 7, and he told the servants to fill them to the brim. Then he said to them, now draw some out and take it to the chief servant. He didn't glorify himself by saying that. He just changed actual literal water out of the well to wine, and not just wine, but the best wine. In chapter 2, he also purified the temple, and he said, this is my Father's house, not a marketplace. In John chapter 3, he spoke to Nicodemus, and we'll come back to that in a few minutes. But speaking to Nicodemus, he declared himself to be able to forgive sin and to give eternal life. In John chapter 4, he spoke to the woman at the well, the Samaritan woman, which indicated clearly that he wasn't concerned about just speaking to Jews. He was concerned about people, and he came to save people. He came to save people from every generation, from every walk of life, from every culture, and to save them from their sin. And the woman at the well's testimony was, come and see the man who told me everything I ever did. Could this be the Messiah? Now, many of the Samaritans from that town believed in him because of what the woman said when she testified, he told me everything I ever did. Jesus knows the truth about all of us. He knows every single thing we think, every single thing that we do, everything we claim to believe or don't believe. He knows exactly who we are. He knows the thoughts and the intents of our heart. Even without us telling him or verbally displaying what we believe, he understands us completely. It's interesting because when he healed the official's son, he did it at a distance. He did it at quite a distance because it took the official almost a day to walk back to where he had met his servants. But he believed Jesus at that time, and he said, when Jesus told him in John 4:50, your son will live, the man believed what Jesus said to him and departed. But in 4:52, he asked his servants at what time the son got better. Yesterday at 7 in the morning, the fever left him, they answered. And the father realized that this very hour at which Jesus had told him, your son will live, then he himself believed, along with his whole household. So Christ speaks with authority. He demonstrated his deity by even being able to turn water into wine, of course, but then to heal a person at a great distance. And he spoke with such authority that the father left and went home believing that what Jesus said was true, or at least accepting what Jesus said was true. But then when we come to verse 453, the father realized that this very hour Jesus had told him, your son will live. And he believed. He believed, and his whole household was saved. When Jesus speaks with authority, and he speaks it with authority through his word, we need to really be aware of the fact that our testimony about Christ, our testimony about believing in Jesus, needs to be supported by the word of God. It needs to be spoken in truth. Yes, our testimonies are true, but our testimonies are only true because Jesus is true. And it's only true because the word of God says it's true. So our salvation is not based on somebody's testimony. Our salvation is based on what the word of God says, what the word of God expects us to believe, what the word of God says with authority, that we have the opportunity to come to Christ and believe him because he speaks with authority. Jesus healed the man who was lame at the pool of Bethesda. And when Jesus talked to this man, the man answered, sir, I don't have a man to put me into the pool where the water is stirred, but while I'm coming, someone else goes down ahead of me. You recognize the story. Jesus doesn't address the pool, whether or not it had special blessing on it or not, but he addressed the man himself and said, get up. Jesus told him, pick up your mat and walk. And instantly the man got well, picked up his mat, and started to walk. Truth is that Jesus' authority, when we think about that story just for a moment, the man was 38 years lame, 38 years unable to walk, 38 years unable to do what he should have been naturally able to do. But Jesus healed him completely. And I love this passage because in verse 9 of chapter 5, instantly the man got well. He didn't get well because he had surgery. He didn't get well because he went to physical therapy. He didn't get well because somebody helped him get well. Somebody helped him learn how to walk. Somebody helped him do what naturally you should be able to do on your own. He got well instantly and started to walk. He picked up his mat and he walked. He had restored strength. He had the ability to move on his own. And later on in the temple, he knew it was Jesus who had healed him. In John chapter 5, verse 17, which is in the chapter we're in right now, Jesus responded to the Pharisees by saying, my Father is still working, and I am working also. So he is making it clear that the Father is, in fact, his Father, as he is our Father, if we know Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior, and also that he declares God the Father to be his Father. And then he tells us in verse 37, the Father also sent me, has testified about me. So he has the Father's testimony as well. The John's testimony, the works that Jesus has done testimony, and then the Father's testimony about himself in verse 37. But you have not heard his voice at any time, and you haven't seen his form. You don't have his word living in you. In John chapter 1, verse 17 and 18, speaking of Jesus, John, the writer of the gospel, says, for the law was given through Moses, grace and truth came through Jesus Christ. No one has ever seen God. The one and only Son, the one who is at the Father's side, he has revealed him. So John the Revelator says, or John the writer of the gospel says, that it is clear that the Father's testimony about Jesus is true. And he says that because the law was given through Moses, but grace and truth came through Jesus Christ. And no one has ever seen God. The one and only Son, the one who is at the Father's side, he has revealed him. So we have John's testimony, we have the Father's testimony, because Jesus tells us that the Father testifies about him, And he supports what John said in the beginning of the Gospel of John, because he said, here, you have not heard his voice at any time, and you haven't seen his form. That's what John said in chapter 1. No one has seen God. The one and only Son, the one who's at the Father's side, he has revealed God to us. If you want to know God, get to know Jesus, because Jesus is the image of God to us. And he says the same thing at the end of the gospel. You've been with me so long, and you still haven't recognized me for who I am? So Jesus' testimony is clear, and Jesus' testimony is powerful. Matthew chapter 3, verse 17. There was a voice out of heaven, "This is my beloved Son. I take delight in him." In Matthew 17, 5, while he was still speaking, suddenly a brilliant cloud covered them, and a voice from the cloud said, "This is my beloved Son. I take delight in him. Listen to him." And Mark tells us the same thing. A voice came from heaven, in verse 111. A voice came from heaven, "You are my beloved Son, I take delight in you." And then in Mark chapter 9, verse 7, a cloud appeared, overshadowing them, and a voice came from the cloud, "This is my beloved Son, listen to him." So we see all of these different scripture references, not just in the Gospel of John, but in the Gospel of Matthew, the Gospel of Mark. We see the testimony that the Father testifies about the Son. The Father declares that Jesus is the Son of God, declaring that Jesus is in fact deity, a second person of the Trinity. He is God in the flesh. And we need to recognize that Jesus' testimony is true. He speaks powerful words in John 5, declaring himself to be who he says he is. When he's challenged by the Pharisees, when he's challenged about his authority, when he's challenged about his relationship with God, when he's challenged about the fact that he declares himself to be God, he doesn't stop. He doesn't slow down. He doesn't say, "Oh, I shouldn't have said that." No, he just amps it up in a way to declare more that he is, in fact, who he says he is. And the powerful truth is that Jesus is who he says he is, and we need to recognize that people are on their way to a Christless eternity because they don't have Jesus Christ in their life. That's a hard thing to recognize. We know people that we can trust. We know people that we believe are people who should know Christ as Lord and Savior, who demonstrate that they're good folks. But without Christ, they don't have that relationship with him. So when we look at the next phase, the scriptures declare that Jesus is the Son of God. The scriptures speak of him. And he goes on to that in this chapter 5, verse 37, 38. You don't have his word living in you because you don't believe the one he sent. Jesus' clear statement, we need to take that to heart. Oh, I believe in God. No. You don't believe in God if you don't believe in Jesus. You hear what I said? You don't believe in God if you do not believe in Jesus. There are all kinds of religions in the world that believe a God, that have faith in a God, but not the God of the Bible. If you don't believe in Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior, you are lost. John chapter 3 tells us that clearly. And it's interesting because in John 3:1, there was a Pharisee named Nicodemus, a ruler of the Jews. And this man came to him at night and said, "Rabbi, we know that you come from God as a teacher. No one could perform these signs you do unless God were with him." Think about that a moment. Nicodemus was, according to church history, the richest Pharisee in Jerusalem. So he was a powerful man, in a powerful place. He came to Jesus at night. Now, there's a lot of theory about why that was, that he came to him at night. But we're going to focus on the simple fact that he came to speak to Jesus, and he said, "We know that you have come from God as a teacher. No one could perform the signs that you do unless God were with him." So he knew that Christ was a teacher from God. And obviously, when he says we, he's talking about the other Pharisees as well. Maybe not all the Pharisees, but some of the Pharisees believed that he was, in fact, a teacher that came from God. So he opened himself up to hear the gospel. He opened himself up to hear the word that came from God. And when Jesus told him he must be born again, he was confused. He was taken aback. He didn't understand that the scriptures taught that he needed to be born from God, that he needed to understand and have faith in God. And when Jesus goes on in John chapter 5, he challenges the Pharisees by saying, you do not have the word of God living in you because you don't believe in the one he sent. You pore over the scriptures because you think you have eternal life in them, yet they testify about me. So even though they studied the scripture, even though the word pored over means to attempt to digest and attempt to understand it completely, even though that was true, they didn't recognize Christ for who he was and who he is. So they pored over the scriptures, and yet they didn't believe the truth about who Jesus is, about who Jesus was. They couldn't recognize him for who he was. And the sad part is that they pored over the scriptures and they didn't recognize him for who he was because they already had a desire to get rid of him, kill him, to get him out of the picture completely, because their intention was to protect their own situation, their own environment, their own relationship with the Roman government, with the Jewish people, and the fact that they had authority in Judaism that they weren't willing to give up. So they held on to their position. More importantly, they held on to their authority and their relationship with the Jewish people and the government because they wanted to stay in their place of authority. They were not willing to recognize Jesus for who he really was. And that's what John 5:18 says. This is why the Jews began trying all the more to kill him. And they had it all wrapped around the Sabbath, because not only was he breaking in the Sabbath, but he was also calling himself the Father's Son, that making him equal with God. So the relationship was with the Jews was always at odds with them, because even though Nicodemus said, we know that you come from God and as a teacher, they didn't want to give up their place, and they were not willing to accept who Jesus claimed to be. Amazing story when you look back, and I think that John 5, the end of the chapter of John 5, actually clarifies the fact that the Jews were opposed to him simply because they did not really know God. They didn't really know God. I have come in my Father's name, yet you don't accept him. If anyone else comes in his own name, you will accept him, because they loved to get glory from one another. They loved to seek glory from one another and accept glory from one another. They were there to build up their own position. They were there to build up their own place. They were there to show themselves to be the people that were the leaders, the rulers, and at the same time, they didn't have faith in God. How can you believe, he says, while accepting glory from one another? You don't seek the glory that comes from the only God. You do not seek the glory that comes from the only God. They were more concerned about their relationship within their own circle than they were in a relationship with the living God. And Jesus said in this passage of Scripture, you don't love God. I know you. I know that you do not love God. And then he goes on and he says, and this is a powerful statement. Do you think that I will accuse you? I will not accuse you. Your accuser is Moses, on whom you have set your hope. For if you believe Moses, you would also believe me, because he wrote about me. But if you don't believe his writings, how will you believe my words? Now take this in the context of what Jesus has said here. You pore over the scriptures because in them you have the hope of eternal life. But you don't even believe the words that you pore over. You don't even believe the words that you study. You don't even believe what Moses said. You see your hope in Moses, but you don't believe what he said. So he says to us in verse 44, if you believe Moses, you would have believed me because he wrote about me. There are so many people, and the world is full of people that seek religion, seek a relationship with God, but not the true God, and desire to have a relationship with God, and yet at the same time, don't really truly understand the testimony that God has about himself. Now, that's not true of every single person that Jesus encountered from the Old Testament, because Elizabeth and Zechariah were faithful believers, the father and mother of John the Baptist. There were definitely faithful believers in Judaism at that time, but the leaders of the Jews did not believe in Jesus.
As we reflect on this passage, it reminds us that Jesus is not simply a teacher or a miracle worker. He is the one sent by the Father, the perfect judge, the true fulfillment of Scripture, and the only source of eternal life. The religious leaders searched the Scriptures yet refused to come to the very one those Scriptures pointed to. This is a powerful warning for us. It is possible to know the words of the Bible and still miss the heart of the Bible. Who is Jesus Christ? Look to Christ and trust in his finished work, rest in his authority, and rejoice in his grace. Let his word shape your life and guide your steps. Open your Bible often and let the Holy Spirit lead you into truth. Be like the noble Bereans who search the Scriptures daily. We would also like to ask you to partner with us as we reach across the state of Alaska on radio and, Lord willing, TV as well. Everything helps when it comes to making sure more and more people have the chance to hear the gospel of Christ, for there is no other message of salvation on earth. As Christ continues to change lives, we ask you to visit us online at faithrecoveryfellowship.org to help us in the way of donations to ensure that more have the opportunity to know Jesus Christ and the power of his resurrection.